First, Nicholas Butler spent 8 months working at the Oscar Mayer plant in Madison, and he has the diaries to prove it. The Oscar Mayer plant shut down this summer after nearly 100 years. Neighborhoods had grown up around the plant, and workers traveled from down the block and from hours away to work there.
Butler calls his writings from the time the Meat Diaries, and they chronicle life inside the plant and has a relationship with the corporation that ran it. His latest book is called The Hearts of Men, a novel. Nick, good to have you back on Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, why did you start keeping diaries when you were working for Oscar Mayer after college?
Well, in truth, I started keeping diaries probably when I was a teenager, first of all, but then I think I'd worked at the plant for maybe like 2 months, and there would be times when we'd be, you know, operating on the assembly line and a machine would break, and we'd be just sort of, you know, cleaning up our stations for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour, and because I was always more or less on kind of an isolated part of the assembly line, I didn't have anyone to talk to. And after a while, I just thought, well, I guess I'm going to keep a diary, and that would be something to kind of pass my time. So I think it was about 2 months into the job.
And this was something you did. You graduated college, and then it sounds like you went to study grizzly bears in Canada.
Yeah.
You come back, you get a job working in a meat processing plant. What was that like? Was it kind of a bit of a culture shock from you to go from grizzlies to being inside a factory?
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, I can remember grocery shopping with my then girlfriend, now my wife, in Madison, and just having some moments where I sort of had a nervous breakdown. You know, just like the lighting inside a supermarket would freak me out. The amount of food that was there would freak me out. And I tried to get, you know, a job that was sort of more, you know, in line with my education and stuff, but nothing ever really happened. And I wanted to be making good money, and I wanted to have health care. And so, you know, I got hired at Oscar Mayer, and it was weird, you know, for all the same reasons that I would have a nervous breakdown in a grocery market. But I was also very thankful to have the job, for sure.
Right, and in these diaries, I mean, you don't really disparage the work or the integrity of the work that's done there, but there were times that it was pretty tough for you, and you found your own ways of coping with the difficult parts of it. Can you tell us what a daily a day was like for you at the factory?
Yeah, well, I was very fortunate. I, you know, I was newly hired, and I got the first shift, which started, you know, something around like 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, I think. Because I was a young guy, I had some of the more sort of physically demanding jobs on the assembly line, and, you know, we'd work until, I think, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, unless there was overtime. And early on, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's some meat packers in your audience that are listening to this and they can relate. Early on, you know, I just couldn't get the cold and the kind of moisture of the plant out of my bones, and I was always felt sort of sick, and I got carpal tunnel syndrome from the repetitive knife work. But again, I was, you know, really fortunate to have the job. So
I think you've got a piece, like a label part of a ham and cheese loaf on one
yeah.
of the journals. Is that what you mostly worked on?
We did ham and cheese loaf. I think we did like some kind of honey ham. We did some like weird work for I think major sub sandwich restaurant chains. It was all, I mean, you know, and enough time has passed too where I don't remember every single lunch meat that we packed, but ham and cheese loaf was one that just sort of stuck in my head because it was not something I had ever consumed, nor have I consumed since that time. Mm. You know.
You talk about, you know, one of the things that seemed like it helped get you through when you had the time was to talk to your fellow workers, the other people who live there. What did you get in terms of a sense of the shape of their lives and what these jobs were like for them?
It was great. I mean, I have to say, I think there were some people on that I was working with that thought it was sort of strange that I had a college education and was working there. But everybody was really wonderful to me. I had the best coworkers, and I mean, it was like any other kind of blue-collar job in Wisconsin. On Monday morning, we were talking about the Packers game, and, you know, we all were in solidarity against our sort of boss. And And, you know, it's like everything else. Somebody's marriage is going through ups and downs. Somebody's kid is, you know, a screw up. You know, you're complaining about the weather. It was like anything else. People were just great and hardworking and made it bearable for me.
You know, it's interesting looking back now. Your diaries are kind of a snapshot of a disappearing time, these manufacturing jobs that you could get without a college degree,
yeah.
but the pay was still good,
yeah.
and the benefits were good. And if you wanted to, you could work your whole life at that job and have a pretty decent life. And those jobs aren't so much around anymore.
No, they're not. And, you know, I haven't lived in Madison since I was 29. I live in Eau Claire now. But when I heard about the plant closing, I really felt a sincere sadness because I knew people that had worked there, you know, for most of their adult life. And, you know, you didn't need a college education. I don't think you needed a high school education. And you could have good health care. You could have decent pay. And you know, I think a lot of workers there really took pride in feeding people, in feeding the country. And when it closed, I just thought, I don't know what comes next. I don't know how we replace those jobs.
And do you worry about what the loss of a major hub like that, I mean, you lived in Madison for a while, what that does to the community around it, like your neighborhood, for instance, or a lot of Oscar Mayer people living there?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, if for nothing else, it's a huge part of the east side of Madison. And I don't know. I mean, I think I don't want to romanticize the plant or the job too much because there were downsides of it, certainly. But, I mean, it was 100 years of Madison and Wisconsin history. And, you know, it allowed a lot of people to spring into the middle class and then to propel their kids forward. And, you know, again, you know, where is that? Where are those jobs going to come from now? Who's going to move into that plant? And what about the poor folks that got laid off? So,
we're talking with Nicholas Butler right now. He's a writer living in Eau Claire, and we're talking about diaries he kept during the 8 months that he worked at the Oscar Mayer plant back in the 2000s. He calls those diaries the Meat Diaries. And Nick, I know when you were there, there was some downtime. These machines were breaking down, sounds like, a lot of the time. And there was some fallow time where you were waiting for stuff to get moving again. And it sounds like you had a book club of one. You
yeah.
were the one guy in this book club.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Yeah, I called it the Oscar Mayer Book Club. And basically, I kind of thought of, I don't think anybody at corporate Oscar Mayer or Kraft really cared what I was doing on a day-to-day basis. But I thought of the diaries as a way of sort of undermining corporate power. And I also thought about the Oscar Mayer Book Club as a way of sort of undermining corporate power. So, of course, you know, I think the first selection of the Oscar Mayer Book Club was The Jungle and then 1984. And, you know, I read books like that anytime I could, like in the break room or if I had to go to the bathroom or if we were broke down, I would just, you know, I'd buy these cheap paperback copies and keep them in my back pocket. And I always, like, was sort of fantasized that maybe somebody from the corporate office would storm onto the production floor and demand my copy of The Jungle, but nobody really cared.
Was there a divide like that? I know there's one line I read where you talk about how you guys left covered in meat and then the people in corporate would look really nice coming in and out of the building. Was there a gap like that that you felt?
Well, I mean, of course there's a lot of, I mean, the people that were working in the, you know, on the corporate part of the plant, I'm all great people and stuff like that. But, you know, we would wear like a cotton smock and then a paper smock. So we weren't like leaving the plant like literally covered in lunch meat, but you smelled like lunch meat. And like the bottom of my jeans would be wet with sort of like gross lunch meat juice and stuff. And I think after just a hard day of that kind of work, walking out into the plant and then looking at somebody leaving the exact same sort of facility in a suit and tie was a little bit like boarding an airplane and walking past first class and just sort of, you know, giving those folks a look. so.
And Nick, this is a job that I think a lot of us have had jobs along the way where we're trying to figure what we want to do, figure ourselves out, or we just maybe we can't get anything else at the time, and we end up in some surprising jobs. And this was one of those for you. Do you regret anything about it? Are you glad it's part of the Nicholas Butler history?
I certainly don't regret anything about it at all. And I think what those jobs that you're describing, this job in my life, for me, it's a reminder of where I am now and how much I like my life now, and how I think sometimes, you know, for me, that wasn't the right job. That doesn't mean that for other people it's not. But for me, I had to have a series of sort of strange and different jobs until I finally found, you know, what I wanted to do most in the world. And so now I look back at that and think, oh, okay, like, I feel very fortunate that I'm at the place that I'm in now.
Nick, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, so Claire writer Nicholas Butler joining us to talk about the Meat Diaries. Those are his memories of working in the Oscar Mayer plant back in the 2000s. His newest novel is called The Hearts of Men.
And we want to hear from you now on a related topic. Did you ever have a job like that that surprised you? That was something you hadn't planned on doing, but you ended up out of necessity, out of curiosity. Did you get something out of it? Was it an important part of your development as a person? Did you stay with it on purpose, or you just got to stayed there out of inertia? Call in now at 800-642-1234. And do you think we lose something if we just go right into a career and stick with it and stay on that path forever? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll continue our conversation in just a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.